Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. An undercover operation has netted more than a dozen arrests for prostitution in Council Bluffs and Omaha, and officials say the investigation isn't over. Authorities say those arrested included both prostitutes and their customers, and they were taken to the Pottawatomie County Jail in Council Bluffs. Police in both cities are assisting the FBI in the investigation. Last week, federal authorities indicted four people who prosecutors say used spas as fronts for a prostitution operation in Omaha. A Western Iowa woman charged with drowning her 15-month-old son has been formally charged with first-degree murder. The Sioux City Journal says the Monona County Attorney's Office filed the charge against 24-year-old Ashley Cameron of Onawa on Thursday. She's scheduled to be arraigned on May 14th. She's charged in the February 11th death of Marcus Doms. She was arrested on April 18th. Police say Cameron held the toddler under a running faucet in the bathtub in their home until he drowned. Iowa economic development officials are reviewing whether to continue a $2.5 million investment in a startup company pitching a groundbreaking fertilizer technology after learning jurors once found its chairman had misused investor money in another energy project. Court records reviewed by the AP show Syngest chairman Serge Rondeva was found in 2008 by a jury in Illinois to have committed civil racketeering and fraud with associates in connection with $500,000 invested to develop a fertilizer technology. A judge vacated the verdict in 2009 when the case was settled. Rondeva denied wrongdoing and said that the case was part of a messy, high-stakes business litigation. Two Iowa Power Fund board members who voted to invest in Syngest say they were unaware of the case and would have investigated the details. Authorities in Pottawatomie County are investigating the recent theft of a backhoe from a property east of Hancock. Chief Deputy John Reynolds says the theft of a Case 480E backhoe occurred at a location in the 1600 block of 450th Street sometime between 4 p.m. April 17th and this past Thursday. The machine is yellow with a brown cab. The back window is also missing. The backhoe's owner, Larry Procht, has been the target of thefts before, and past reports to the sheriff's office indicated that Procht had two trailers and scrap metal taken during separate incidents. Procht is offering a $1,000 reward for the return of the machine and an additional $1,000 reward if other stolen equipment is returned. He says also he won't press charges if the thief returns one or more of the items or provides a tip as to where they are located. Procht can be reached at 712-355-1566. Authorities are reviewing surveillance video to try and obtain clues as to the thief's identity. Anyone with information regarding the thefts should call the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office at 890-2200 or Sergeant Dwayne Ritchie at 890-2233. An associate judge has been named to fill a vacancy on the district court bench by Governor Terry Branstad. Richard Clogg was named a district judge in Judicial District 5A, which includes central Iowa counties. Clogg of Indianola was appointed as an associate judge in 1999. He was in private practice for 25 years prior to his appointment. A vacancy was announced in February when Judge Darrell Goodhue retired. Clogg received his bachelor's degree from Simpson College in 1971 and his law degree from Drake University in 1974. The Harlan Police Department reports 38-year-old Curtis Baldwin of Harlan was arrested on Tuesday on disorderly conduct and public intoxication charges. The arrest occurred after officers responded to a report that a man was dancing in the street and running out in front of oncoming cars. Baldwin pled not guilty to the charges. A date for his trial has not yet been set. Authorities in Harlan also report the arrest on Wednesday of 53-year-old Michael Garrison of Harlan. Garrison was charged with public intoxication and interference with official acts after officers were called to assist with a man who was allegedly out of control and threatening suicide. He pled not guilty to the charges and was being held in the Shelby County Jail on $300 bond. And on Sunday, April 22nd, two Harlan men were arrested following a traffic stop. The driver of the vehicle, 26-year-old Zachary Scheffler, was charged with driving while barred, while his passenger, 21-year-old Cody Lister, faces possession of controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and open container charges. Both men were brought to the Shelby County Jail, and Lister pled not guilty to the charges. The Harlan Police Department also said on Friday that a Harlan woman was arrested on April 20th on drug-related charges after officers were called to assist a woman at a residence in the 500 block of Main Street. 38-year-old Vicki Garrison faces a trio of felony charges, including two counts of possession of controlled substance, marijuana and methamphetamine, possession of a controlled substance with the intent to deliver, and also bribery. She remains in the Shelby County Jail on $50,000 bond. And on April 21st, 21-year-old Kip Kristen of Hastings, Nebraska, was arrested in Harlan following a traffic stop. He was charged with OWI and careless driving. Kristen made his initial appearance in court on Friday morning. Officials with the Iowa Department of Transportation said on Friday they'll be working across the state this summer to determine how many cars, trucks, and other vehicles are using the state's roadways. And their efforts this year will be concentrated here in southwest Iowa, but occasionally crews will work elsewhere in the state. Many employees will spend peak hours between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. at one location, counting the morning, noon, and evening traffic. They will count and classify vehicles, record vehicle turning movements, tally helmet usage by motorcyclists, and gather other data necessary to plan the future of Iowa's roadway systems. And during off-peak hours when they're not counting vehicles, they may be seen around the community. And they're going to be doing a number of other activities as well to assist in counting the traffic in the area and also collecting information by the form of recording pictures aboard a van that will be equipped with a GPS system as well to correlate those pictures with their location. And you may see those vehicles driving around as well. Officials say all the work is critical to the future of the state's transportation system. The information gathered allows transportation officials to better predict traffic trends and allow them to plan improvements they say will give Iowans the most benefit for each dollar spent. No injuries are reported in a natural gas line explosion in a farm field in Jackson County in eastern Iowa. The blast happened late Friday afternoon about 12 miles north of Maquoketa. The sheriff's office says there are no reports of injuries and no other details were immediately released. And the witness reported flames were shooting about 100 feet in the air during that blast. And the second gas line, that's the second gas line explosion in Iowa here this week. On Wednesday, two men were injured in an explosion when their trenching equipment struck a northern natural gas pipeline near Hinton. The Iowa Attorney General's office is investigating whether workers followed a state law requiring utility companies to be notified before digging begins. For fresh food connoisseurs, May means the opening of farmers markets. And with an early spring this year, some produce may be ripe and ready ahead of normal. Iowa's biggest farmers market is in downtown Des Moines, where nearly 40,000 people attended opening day last year. Manager Kelly Foss says this year's opening on May 5th should equal or better that turnout. The market has grown to about 20,000 visitors each Saturday morning, May through October. Foss says she sees a surge in interest in meat producers and makers of gourmet cupcakes and muffins. Nationally, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reports the number of farmers markets has climbed in the last decade to more than 7,000. The Iowa Department of Agriculture lists more than 240 farmers markets in the state. Authorities have identified a man who died after being hit by a train while walking on the tracks in rural Scott County. Sheriff's Office says 27-year-old Joshua Schaefer of Bettendorf was struck by a train Thursday afternoon. Man was taken to a Davenport hospital and transferred to a hospital in Iowa City where he died. The incident remains under investigation. Also in other news, authorities say a 43-year-old southeastern Iowa man committed suicide Wednesday after his wife reported a domestic assault to police. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation said Friday John Harville of Olds died from a gunshot wound to the head that was apparently self-inflicted. Harville's wife, Deborah Layton Harville, called police to report she'd been beaten by her husband and she was in the house, or he was in the house with a gun. As she was speaking with the dispatcher, the gunshot was heard in the background. Officers who arrived on the scene found Layton Harville with multiple injuries to her face, and she said she'd been tied up and assaulted by her husband for hours. Officers found Harville on the kitchen floor suffering from an apparent gunshot wound to the head with a semi-automatic handgun in his hand. The Army Corps of Engineers plans to cut the flow of water coming out of the Gavin's Point Dam in southeast South Dakota next week to check for damage from last year's flooding. The Corps said Friday it will conduct the test on Tuesday to look for damage caused by last summer's sustained high water releases. People who live downstream from the dam in Nebraska and Iowa could see the Missouri River drop more than a foot on Tuesday because of the test. The Corps' John Remus says preliminary inspections indicated the dam sustained minor damage to its spillway, so officials want to get a better look. If the test is successful, officials will plan to reduce the flow for a longer period in May to complete damage assessments. A Red Oak woman was arrested on Thursday on theft and drug charges. According to Red Oak police, 46-year-old Amy Jo Ross was taken into custody on third-degree theft, possession of a controlled substance marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia charges. Ross was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on $2,000 bond. And authorities have released more information about a 2-year-old girl who died after an accident in a parking lot of an apartment complex in Fairfax near Cedar Rapids. The Linn County Sheriff's Office says Michaela Collins of Fairfax was brought to a hospital Thursday afternoon. Investigators determined she had been in some kind of accident involving a car. She was flown to university hospitals and clinics in Iowa City, where she died. The Gazette says Friday that its officials said the child was in the back of the complex with her family while they were moving a grill. The toddler apparently ran behind a vehicle that was backing up in the parking lot. Now taking a look here at world headlines here at this hour. New rules are in place for the Secret Service travel assignments in the wake of the Columbia prostitution scandal. The updated code of conduct covers off-duty hours. It prohibits agents from drinking excessively, visiting disreputable establishments, and also while traveling or bringing foreigners to their hotel rooms. A former top security official in Israel is questioning the wisdom behind talk of attacking Iran to destroy its nuclear weapons program. The one-time head of Israel's powerful internal security agency, Yuval Diskin, says political leaders are misleading the public about the effectiveness of a military strike and that might even cause Tehran to accelerate its nuclear program. Authorities in Mexico are checking hotels, bus terminals, and other businesses as they search for a 6-year-old Arizona girl expands. She disappeared from her family's home last Saturday. Police began looking at the possibility that the girl could have been taken there because of Tucson's close proximity to the border. A SWAT team has surrounded a complex underground bunker in the Cascade foothills east of Seattle. They believe it's occupied by a man who allegedly killed his wife and daughter a week ago and set fire to his house. Officers are not entering the bunker because they believe Peter Keller is heavily armed and that the fortification might be booby-trapped. British lawmakers are warning that marathons belong at the Olympics, not at the airports, where travelers will be trying to get to the Games this summer. Airport officials say Britain's reputation is at stake, and the government must urgently address chaos at airport immigration desks to prevent disruption for Olympic visitors. Take a look now at your funeral announcements here this morning. Amita Elizabeth Beth Boschelet, age 89, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Amita Beth Boschelet will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Tweak Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Margaret Holliday, age 92, of Greenfield, died Friday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Margaret Holliday will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Eleanor Shrum, age 86, of Urbandale and formerly of Manning, died Thursday at her home. Services for Eleanor Shrum will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Des Moines. OD Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Donald C. Allen, age 75, of Yale, died on Tuesday at his winter home in Mesa, Arizona. Funeral services for Donald Allen will be held on Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Tweak Funeral Home in Panora. That's a look at the latest news and funeral announcements here this 8 o'clock hour here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.